Welcome once more to the podcast series where female lawyers in non-traditional roles share their professional growth stories. In this final episode, we touch on fostering mentorships and advocacy, and our guests also share their proudest moments or career highlights, as well as their insights on balancing work and life. Do you think it's important for women to rely on and offer mentorship and advocacy to each other? And can you share a little bit about whether you've experienced a mentorship or an advocacy relationship that has really meant a lot with you? Kalinka, can you please answer this one?
So I've seen many women throughout my career navigating the tough waters of being in a corporate legal practice as practicing lawyers. Most have been successful in one way or another. All are currently happy and where they would like to be in life. Was it easy for any of them to get to this point? Probably not. But it is certainly due to trailblazers before them, both men and women, having laid significant foundations for change in this legal industry, particularly over the last 20-odd years. And this has lent itself to really enabling women to grow and develop both within the legal space and in non-legal roles. We still have a really long way to go. I don't believe that being a woman in any corporate environment will ever be easy, but we do have a duty to persevere, to support each other, and to be and live the change. So you asked a question around whether I have ever experienced this mentorship and this level of advocacy. Surprisingly, I have experienced it through a previous coach I had many years ago who happened to be a male, and he really just helped me along the sort of non-legal path that I was on and helped me develop this role where I'm currently at, which is a non-legal role. Just every day giving me the sort of insights into and the continued support around the fact that I'm adding real value within the legal space. More recently, Rieta, I couldn't think of a better mentor or advocate for the space that I'm currently in than yourself. You speak volumes to how wonderful it is to be a lawyer in a non-legal role. It's just been super, super helpful to have someone like that as a sounding board. And it's, as I say, we need to continue to support each other through what will remain rough waters. But I truly believe you live the change.
I am blushing. Thank you very much, Kalinka. That is really, it means a lot to me. And I would hope that we can in CDH at least all be mentors to each other. And I learn from my team, I think probably more often than they learn from me. It is really enjoyable. And as a young lawyer, I never thought that I'm very good at working in teams. I was quite particular about how I wanted things to be done. And it really helped me to overcome that, to enter into a role that was non-standard, non-legal, because I acknowledged from the start I am not the best at the things that we are doing. And it gives you permission to allow other people to be the best because we're doing so many things. We cannot possibly be the expert at every single one of them. But harnessing those that are experts in it and bringing in the people that are good at what they're doing gets you to a far better result. And like I said, it gives you permission to not always have to be the one who knows the best. Steph, what do you say about mentorship and working with other women?
Thank you, Rieta. I think I would like to just really build on and just add onto what Kalinka said, because building a professional brand and a personal brand really involves a multifaceted approach. And in my case, I've also been fortunate enough to have the backing of the collaborative CDH community. And at CDH, we do have a lot of mentorship programs, whether formal or informal. And these events and opportunities, such as this podcast, really do celebrate women and other individuals within the legal industry. So much like Kalinka, I've also received invaluable support and guidance throughout my change in career, with mentors being remarkable women such as Kalinka Kirsty, as well as Rieta, all of which you have played a remarkable and a pivotal role throughout my career.
Thank you, Steph. Look, I love what I'm doing. I really do. And I sound sometimes a bit like I'm trying to be a cult leader. And that's not the point. Everybody doesn't have to live the life we live and work in the way that we work. But I really do love it. That is not to say that we don't work hard. All lawyers work hard. It might be tempting for someone to say, I'm going to be in a non-standard role because I have a much greater control over my work-life balance. And so I think it is fair that we should talk to them about that. Is it true that for someone in a non-standard role, it is easier to balance work-life requirements? Steph, I'm going to start with you because you've just had a tiny little baby. And so you're very much in the thick of trying to navigate a world where you have a much bigger family responsibility all of a sudden than what you've had previously.
Yeah, thank you, Rieta. So first of all, I want to say I think it's an absolute privilege to do what I love, like you've said earlier, as well as to really grow my family and persevere in my personal career and my goals as well. So just like any demanding career, I think balancing work and life is not always easy as it seems when you set your New Year's resolution. So I quickly came to realize that I'm inherently designed to be ambitious and put my best foot forward in both my career as well as my personal life. And in saying this, I do think over the past few years, I've noticed that the legal industry is becoming more open to flexible work arrangements, which can benefit women seeking better work-life balance. There are now remote work options, flexible schedules, and family-friendly policies. And I think all of this really does contribute to a more inclusive workplace.
Thank you. Kirsty, do you find the same?
I don't think that it is easier to be in a non-classical lawyer role. Being in the corporate sphere or being in a high demand job is always going to be stressful. I mean, there are days that I feel like someone is throwing a ball at my head from north, east, south, and west, and I don't know where it's coming from because there is something different that you tackle in this support role every day, and you have to be adaptable. That said, though, work-life balance, I think progress can be seen and felt by most women. Not only in the legal industry, but in most other corporate industries. With the advancement of technology, which allows us to remain in contact with our teams from anywhere in the world, it allows us to continue our work from anywhere in the world. And this flexibility has further allowed us to work flexible hours and still be productive individuals and take ownership of the work that we produce. Work-life balance, I think, is always going to be difficult in general, and you have to learn how to juggle it, and you have to learn how to manage your schedule as best as possible. And to be honest with you, my experience has shown me sometimes that women really are the best at being able to do that. But it doesn't mean that there's not challenges. It doesn't mean that women have suffered less or have suffered more. We've just learned how to juggle things sometimes because it was necessary.
Thank you. Kalinka, have you got this right? Have you got your balance in order?
Rieta, I was just about to say that I'm not even sure how many ducks I have, let alone whether the ducks are in a row. You know, in this non-standard role, I am certainly no less busy than I was as a practicing lawyer. In fact, I am far more busy. And I think it's just what we spoke about earlier as well, around the perception of value and value added to a particular law firm. This is still something we're trying to overcome and deal with on a daily basis. And that certainly adds to that feeling that we need to work harder to demonstrate that we're actually equal to the traditional professional lawyer in practice. But that having been said, and it's something which Steph and Kirsty mentioned, it is critically important to make good use of the flexible working environments making their way into the legal sphere at the moment and in the current world of work. So my additional advice on this is to find your own personal way of managing work-life balance and to communicate this with members of your team and others that you work closely with. This really does allow for better engagement and for a far more balanced day overall. If you do communicate openly and honestly, you really lay the foundation for essentially the creation of additional time. And by that, I mean carving out specific time in a day to get to tasks, both within and outside of the working sphere, that you feel you may not typically have that time for. And so open communication is definitely the way to go. And really sort of owning the flexible working environment, which we are privileged to have.
Thank you. I think that what your answers have shown me is that for everyone, a work-life balance looks slightly different, and everybody's requirements are different. Their personal needs are different. Speaking for myself, there are aspects of being in the role I am now that does make it easier to have a balance. And that, for instance, is that I no longer have to go to court. So having a sick child and not being able to sleep is no longer the same level of pressure. So not having that appearance in court pressure, the urgent application pressure, does make my life easier. But at the same time, when I was a fee-writing lawyer, there were afternoons that I could go and see clients and not feel that my inbox is going to actually jump out and eat me when I get back. Now there is no such thing as downtime. There is no such thing as we are quiet. There are always projects. The projects are on the go because we're trying to meet the need of a huge variety of people, and those needs are diverse and they change on a daily basis. So there are gives and takes. There are benefits to being in a support role, absolutely, but it doesn't come without its own pressures. And I think that what the colleagues have contributed now have indicated to you that this is not a role that you take on because there's no pressure. But there are specific aspects to this role that we find very, very, very gratifying and speaks to who we are and what satisfies us and gives us a sense of community and a sense of value to our firm. My last question to all of you is to share something about your proudest moment. What do you love best? What made you feel particularly great about your role as a support lawyer? Can we start with Kalinka?
Thanks, Rita. So for me, there probably is not a single moment, but a continuous stream, as I say, of happy incidents from really the time that I stepped out of practice and away from traditional law through to being a professional support lawyer and then being a practice manager and then becoming a director within the CDH dispute resolution team in 2023. We're so fortunate that things have progressed so far within the legal space, and that CDH is as agile as it is to really recognize the importance of these roles within the broader legal sphere in South Africa. As I'm sure others will agree, external factors can often impact on and even taint one's career decisions. But I think the important thing is to always remain true to who you are and never stop chasing change, growth, and personal development and fulfillment. And this really is the kind of role that can give you all of those things. It's something which has changed my life for the better. I also love this role. I love what it means at the end of each financial year, just seeing what it is that you've produced and the positive impact that we've made within a particular department or business unit. And it's really, really gratifying to see those play out across the year. It's something that I don't believe I ever could have done as a practicing lawyer. It's progressed into something which I'm truly delighted with. And I'm happy to say I'll never move back into practice.
That is a very strong statement in favor of this is a career worth considering. And I fully agree with you, Kalinka. Steph, can you share something that stands out for you as a proud moment in your career so far?
Yes, thanks, Rita. And I really want to echo what Kalinka said. I think personally, one of my proudest moments was really having the courage to step out of the natural trajectory of my career and taking on my current role. And Kalinka also mentioned there is a lot of views, there is a lot of noise, and that often impacts the decisions that we make. And sometimes you need to back yourself and just really follow your ever-changing interests and career ambitions. So I think that definitely is probably my proudest moment, and it wasn't an easy decision, but a decision that I'm very happy with.
Great. Kirsty, can you share something?
Rita, I think my proudest moment is something a little bit more specific. And having been in real estate legal practice for a decade and making use of automation that was available to me was wonderful. But the skill to code and create my own legal documents has just been the most rewarding thing for me. So yeah, basically learning a whole new skill and being able to merge that new skill when it comes to coding documents with my already acquired expertise and experience in the legal sphere. I found that very, very rewarding, being able to create something new that other people can use in a smart and efficient manner.
I can completely understand that. And I am incapable of coding. I have a strong team and they code. And I look at them with envy and think, oh, I wish I could do that. And there's just never enough time to learn. So I completely understand. One day I'm going to be really great with Excel. And I'm going to be so super proud of the first time I deliver an Excel spreadsheet that can rival what the data scientist does. But maybe that's for retirement. I'm not sure I'm going to find a time before then. You know, I have an even more granular proudest moment. And it's in one director's meeting, an online one, and Eskol, the CFO, said that I, Rita, control my budget almost as well as he controls his budget. And I thought, what a lovely statement. I communicated with him afterwards and said, Eskol, thank you so much for saying that I'm in control of the budget. I think it is a very strong indication here, not of how important budgets are to me, but how very, very, very hard you have to work to make Eskol proud of your budget control. But, you know, it's maybe also an indication of the fact that for the people who work really hard and are really great at what they're doing, to get their praise is often how you find your proudest moment, because you know you had to work really hard in order to deserve that praise. That brings us to the end of my questions for today. Thank you so much for joining me, colleagues, and for sharing your insights.
Thank you so much for having us, Rita. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It was really enlightening for me as well. So thanks a lot. And yeah, I hope to do it again soon.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.